before the season
started. No, that's not true. I said the Houston Rockets are not going to be as good as they were last year. The Lakers would be better, and the Lakers are going to the Western Conference Finals. Am I speaking gibberish?
When?
I said this.
When?
NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Strayer. It's Friday, October 26th. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know what's going on, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, just while repping Strayer a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, today's massive Friday show is going to cover off today's fun-ass array of NBA games. We've got a belter between the Nuggets and Lakers where the meme team took over. We've got a mega comeback win from the Celtics and a couple of nice, tasty little wins for the Blazers and Pistons. So we'll tackle them with all the usual dumbassery of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate No Mates, Pantsing of the Evening, and Better Than Lonzo Ball. And of course, we've also got Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up flame-grilled takes. And because it's Friday, we award our coveted Dickhead of the Week. We add to the Luke Longley Hall of Fame, which is awesome. And we'll preview and pick every single game for the entire weekend of NBA. It's awesome. The best bit, though, we're going to finish up with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Yes, you've all been clamoring for it, so it's back. Let's do it. All right, man. Let's get stuck into this one. It's going to be awesome. It's NBA Strayer. NBA's back! It's episode 169. Let's go!
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Oh, maybe you should actually watch out for what? Today was the Dame attack? The LeBron attack? The meme team attack, the Lance make him dance attack. I don't know, man. Either way, we've got a Woj bomb today, so let's get stuck into that with the news. That's how we start every day with the daily whip around. So we'll whip around the entire league. Quick news off the top, though. Jimmy Butler. Woj reported today that the Rockets are offering the Wolves 4 first-round picks for Jimmy Butts. What the hell, man? That's insane. 4 first-rounders. 6 Dim Sims. No, 6 Steam Dim Sims. All right, you'd also assume it would be like a Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, or Eric Gordon contract in there to make some money work, but damn. We'll cover that all a little bit later. And yeah, nah, some injury stuff. Kevin Love didn't play in the Pistons-Cavs game today due to foot soreness. Weirdly enough, didn't really read it anywhere until the game started. So just shows you, as soon as LeBron leaves town, no fucker cares about what's going on with the Cavs, huh? Brutal. And fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world. He's also out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, which probably came from killing Michael Gilchrist in that Hornets game yesterday. Bulgies on your Bobby Portis. He probably kickboxed some poor bastard in the head. Ah, hurt my knee. Yeah, you kicked me in the fucking throat, you dickhead. All right, let's get into the wraps for Friday. We've got 4 games. We had an absolute, well, surprisingly okay game to watch in Detroit there. Detroit win over the Cavs. Who was that, Stephen A. Smith? I believe that was the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland.
Who was it?
Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. 110-103, we picked Detroit. They win. Cavs go to 0-5. We were expecting like a nice Blake Griffin-Kevin Love battle in this. Nope. Son of a bitch. Kevin Love's foot's all sore, so he didn't play. Detroit came out okay in this, then looked a bit sluggish, pulled it together in the second and third and kind of ran away with it. The Cavs are a bit of a rabble. I keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it until they're not 0-5. Trade everybody. Let the sex man and Nance and Chetty go nuts. And now they're out there starting Channing Frye and Thompson. So, yeah, it sucks to watch the Cavs. So speaking of the Cavs, speaking of Chetty, he had a rough one tonight. 1 of 8. Oh, jeez. Jordan Clarkson looked better than he has all year, though. 18 points on 8 of 12 shots. Korver had a good one. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter. Ended up with 22. 4 of 7 from 3. J.R. Smith trying to get the pipe. He was out there laying pipe. He could have been a fucking plumber out there instead of J.R. Smith. 0 of 7. We'll talk about that later. The sex man, Colin Sexton, 14 points and 5 assists. Looked pretty good. Chetty and Korver both fouled out as well. So, yeah, the Cavs, rough as guts. They let the Pistons shoot 52.6% from the field and 40% from three. So, yeah, Cavs, a lockdown D. What do you reckon? Nope. Pistons, huge games from Blake and Andre. Blake had 26, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and a block. Went 4 of 5 from 3 as well, did Blake. Looking pretty good out there now after his 50-point effort against the Sixers. Andre Drummond, massive game as well with only Tristan Spud Thompson in his way. He had 26 points and 22 rebounds. Unbelievable. Andre crushing it. Didn't take a three this time, though. So good on him. Just playing close to the bucket. And who else? Reggie Jackson. He played with foul trouble, but still got to 15 points. A lot of free throws in there. Missed two clutch free throws that would have happily sealed it at the very end. But, you know, still got there. Stanley Johnson, still a spud. 7 points. Either way, the Pistons, not too bad. You know, a bit of Ish Smith in there. He had 10. But they're looking pretty good. Considering that they keep beating, you know, what, the Cavs. They beat the Sixers. I'll give it to them. But they're unbeaten, man. That's unreal. Cavs are now 0-5 Pistons. They're right at the top of the Eastern Conference. Unbelievable. Remember how they kind of did this last year as well and then fell off a cliff? Yeah. That might still be coming. Moving on. Speaking of teams that were good at the start of last year and then fell off a cliff, Orlando, the Magic. They lost at home. To the Trailblazers, 128-114. Portland needed that one after crapping their bed against the Wiz the other day. And they dominated the first half. Zach Collins was perfect from the floor, and Nurk was out there kicking ass as well. And then Dame brought them home. For the Magic, Aaron Gordon came alive in the second half. And, you know, it was kind of fun watching Mo Bamba take on Zach Collins and Zach Collins school him. It's pretty good. So for the Magic, Gordo ended up with 17 points. 4 rebounds, went 6 of 6 in the second half. It was pretty good. But it was all down to really basically Vooch. He had 24 and 11, made 2 of his 3s. Jonathan Isaac was looking pretty good too. 10 and 6 with 4 blocks. I'm really liking how he's coming along this year. I mean, the problem for the Magic though is not that front court. It's the guards. DJ Augustine, gross. Evan Fournier was okay. Just don't Google him. 17 points, 6 assists. 6 of 16 shooting though. 1 of 6 from 3. Not great. T-Ross. Off the bench, he had 21, 5 and 9 from 3. And Mo Bamba looked okay. You know, 8 and 6 in 21 minutes. Got those giant fucking pterodactyl arms on you, Mo. Good on you, mate. But for the Blazers, come on, man. Zach Collins finished perfect. 7 of 7 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and a block. That was awesome. But it was really the Dame Lillard show, wasn't it? 41. We'll talk about him in a second. Unreal game for Dame. CJ had 22, but Jesus, I didn't think Dame and CJ could play together. Just combined for 63, mate. The Bosnian beer, hello, Jusuf Nurkic, had 18 and 10 and also gave Vooch the business a couple of times. It's fun to see those guys go at it. And even the bench guys got into it for the Blazers. Seth, the shit one, Curry, had 11. Ev, the villain, Turner, had 8. They shot 9 of 13 between them. And the bench as a unit shot 18 of 27. Portland crushing it. They also became the first team since the Showtime Lakers in 85 to score 120 points in their first 4 games of a season. So the Blazers now moved to 3-1. The Magic are 2-3. Over in Oklahoma City, my Zombie Sonics, they're not mine, I don't go for them. They lost at home 95-101 to Boston. Oh geez, this was an absolute belter as well, because Boston, you might not know this, but 101, they had 34 points in the first half. They were crapping the bed. It was unbelievable. That Boston offense, it was just like, oh, geez, what's going on? And then they came out and smoked them in the third with a 40-23 quarter, thanks to Al Horford and Flask Dad, Mook Morris. That was awesome. Horford hit some threes. He was off and running. And basically, that was all good. Got them all up. Still, it was close, and it was a tussle. And then in the last quarter, this is legitimately unbelievable. The Celtics went on a 16-1 run in the last 4 minutes and 22 seconds. That's right, the OKC Thunder scored 1 point in the last 4.5 minutes of this game and got their asses handed to them. That's right, man. The Thunder, they were up like, what, 10? And then gave up a 16-1 run. And they lose. unbloody believable, mate. That is, oh no, they're up 9, yeah. But still, 16-1. Jesus. So this was all looking pretty good for OKC. They're in control and then give up a 16-1 run. They lose. The question being, hey, can you beat a team like the Celtics when your two best dudes shoot like shit? Turns out, no. No, you can't. Because for a minute there, it looked like they might do it, but then they didn't because their two dudes shot like shit. So Rusty, he went 5 of 20. Oh, jeez. 13, 15, and 8 for Rusty. I love him, but goddamn, man. 0 of 7 from the field with 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter and just didn't stop shooting. He's like, no, guys, I got this. Everyone's like, ah, fuck, here he goes. Classic Russell. Oh, mate. It was gross. Playoff P as well. Paul George, 7 of 22 for his 22 points. 2 of 10 from 3. Oh, my God, they're a joke, aren't they? German Rondo, Dennis Schröder. I am German Rondo. 4 of 10. Ugh. They were just an absolute shocker all round. But Hamidou Diallo, be a Hamidou, not a Hamidon't. He looks awesome. I reckon he's going to steal T-Ferg's spot in the next couple of weeks, I reckon. T-Ferg hit one shot, looked pretty good, but Hamidou at the crushing it. Alex Abrines hit 2 back-to-back threes to get the Thunder back up 7 in this as well. Looked like they were going to cruise to the win, and then they crapped the bed. So they shot 7 of 25 from 3, did OKC. That's, I would say, not great. No, that's fucking horrible. Boston, meanwhile, the first half of those dudes, they went 0 of 11 from 3, then went 11 of 21 in the second half. Yeah, that'll do it. It certainly helps. No thanks to Gordo Hayward, though. Missed both of his shots in the first half. Ended up with 5 points, did Hayward. Looking pretty rough out there, too. Just that confidence is not there. You can sort of see him every time he tries to do something. He's like pushing off that left leg. And he's like, nah, it's okay. And you can just hear the crack in his voice. He's like, oh my God, Jesus. Please let it be all right, please. Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving, Aussie Kyrie, had 15 points on 6 of 13 shooting. So really, it was Jason Tatum was the only one out there doing anything for a lot of this. He ended up with 24 on 8 of 18. Spent a lot of time whinging as well, did Jason. It's a bit of a weird sort of turn of events. It's like, come on, man, just chill. He's like, oh, but he hit me, bro. Speaking of his double J buddy as well, Jaylen Brown. He wasn't very good. 1 of 8 in 24 minutes. They played Smart Marcus Smart and Scary Terry there instead of him down the stretch. But really, the two people who saved this game for the Boston Celtics were Al Horford. Big Al stepped up. He had 19, 8, and 2, 1, and 1. Unbelievable game. 3 of 5 from 3. He was getting monstered by Steven Adams early, so Horford just went, you know what? Fuck it. I'll start dropping bombs from the outside. So that's what he did. 3 of 5 from 3. That'll do it. And Flask Dad Marcus Morris, 20 and 10. 4 of 5 from 3. Sparked them. I love it. Also, Flask Dad is unreal. He is the best Celtic out there at the moment too. And Boston get a much, much needed win. They move to 3-2. And that is now 0-4 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 0-4. That's right. They're hanging out there. They are in sole possession of last place in the West. Holy jeebus. Not great. Anyway, speaking of getting wins on the board when you need them, the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, not many lakes in LA, just saying, 121 winners over the Denver Nuggets, 114. This was huge because, look, the Lakers were down. It was all tied up. It was close. And then what happened? The meme team happened. That's right. JaVale and Lance. They scored 16 straight between them in the fourth. This was absolutely unbelievable. They went on a 19-4 run down the stretch to the Lakers and put this game away. It was unbelievable. Lonzo helped out. He hit a massive three. LeBron and Kuz jumped in there as well and just rammed it home. And Lakers get their first home win, 121-114. The Nuggets were looking very good. For most of this game, you figured they'd sort of just put the hammer down towards the end. The Lakers on a back-to-back, you think they'd sort of run out of gas a little bit considering it was so close. Nap. This is the good thing about having bench vets who don't get out there for too much run. It's in fourth quarters like this where they come out and go, hey, man, I'm fresh. I've played like fucking 20 minutes in the last 3 games combined, so let's do it. That's what Lance did. It was great. So for the Nugs, Joker, he had 24, 10, and 3. Looked pretty good. Was monstering JaVale early. Just eating that poor boy. Come on, man. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, 13 and 5 assists. Jamming Jamal Murray, had 22 points and 10 rebounds. But the ball movement just stopped for Denver completely. Thrill Sap, he had 6 and 5 and got fucking sunned. by LeBron James on a bucket late when LeBron just drove straight past poor Thrillsap. That lateral movement seems like it's gone a little bit on Paul. It's all right. They're only paying him $30 million next year. Oh, Jesus. Well, you know, team option. Anyway, Lakers, though, come on, man. This is LeBron. What a show he put on. Triple-double in his first Lakers home win, 28-11-11. To go with Lonzo, he had 12 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals, including an absolute pearler on Jamal Murray, proving that beef is alive and well, where he just basically stripped him from behind, took it and grabbed it, and scored a layup. It was awesome. 5 steals, 3 turnovers, played a very good game. Kuz had 22 on 8 of 18 shooting, crushed it down the stretch as well. Just the way he flies down the lane, man, it is next level. JaVale had 21 and 7 rebounds. Lance make him dance, had 12 points, 8 of them coming in the last quarter. And there you go, the Lakers won one in front of Kobe, in front of Bill Walton, in front of Magic. Everyone was losing their minds. There was Kobe chants going on. This was awesome. So Lakers moved to 2-3. Nuggets, finally, are no longer undefeated. They are now 4-1, leaving the only undefeated teams in the NBA being the New Orleans Pelicans, not the Pelicans, 3-0 in the West. And over there in the East, you have the Raps, Bucks, and Pistons. 5-0 for the Raps, 4-0 for both the Bucks and Pistons. Unreal. All right, let's get on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. Let's get into it.
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
That was a fucking knife, Damian Lillard. Holy jeebus. So, I don't know if you knew this, but weirdly enough, Dame has always been absolutely shithouse in Orlando for his entire career. All the games he's played there, it's like 7 or whatever, maybe 8. He's been shit. He shot like 36% there and has never been any good, and he turned that the fuck around today. 41 points, 13 of 23 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3, also chucked in 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal, and got the Blazers a much-needed win against that sneaky, okay Orlando team. And I think we mentioned this yesterday, how it'd be kind of weird with the dominant sort of guards of Portland versus that, you know, pretty giant front line of Orlando. Turns out that didn't really matter because Dame and CJ just kind of had their way and went to town on them because Orlando are very good. So that was good. All right, what about Old Mate No Mates for today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, it's a couple of coaches. Oh, watch out, mate. That's right. The two teams that have not got a win this year, Ty Lue over there in Cleveland. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith? Where is he?
Cleveland.
That's right. He is in Cleveland. And Billy Donovan. Oh, Jesus. Ty Lue's got 0-5 for the Cavs and the Thunders. 0-4 for Billy Donovan. Fucking hell, mate. The man with the Vegeta hairline. Fucking hell, man. How can your team not score more than 1 point in 4.5 minutes of basketball down the stretch? That is unbelievable. You'd have to almost shit can him for that, wouldn't you? If they drop another 2, I reckon he's gone. You know, by Mo Cheeks music. And Ty Lue, look, I reckon they're just going to tear down the Cavs and trade everybody, so we might be safe. But there are two dudes who have no mates today, I'll tell you. One in Cleveland, one in OKC. Gross. Ty Lue, Billy Donovan, you're both old mate, no mates. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to stay in Cleveland for the next one. It's Spud of the Night. Spud of the Night gets me every time. Spud of the Night was J.R. Smith. As mentioned, it could have just been as well, like just put a plumber out there instead of fucking J.R. tonight. 0 of 7 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3 in 20 minutes. He had 1 rebound and 2 turnovers. That is the most spuddiest of spud lines you'll ever see. Like, he was legitimately completely fucking useless. JR, mate, I get it that you're all pissy, but this is not the way to build up your trade value. He's going to be playing in fucking China in March. Jesus, JR. All right, what about the pantsing of the night? Look, this could have been just the Cavs on a back-to-back and getting their asses handed to them once more. But, you know, that's a team-wide pantsing. How about a specific individual pantsing? Well, we're going to keep bashing on either the Cavs or OKC because tonight it was Paul George. He has to wear shorts until he yaks on someone himself to get back from the pantsing. He suffered at the hands of Jason Tatum with an absolutely beautiful cram over the top of PG-13 in that Celtics OKC game. It was very nice on you, Jason Tatum. So he's now dunked on LeBron and Paul George out there crushing it, and he's 20. Not too bad. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody. That's right. Oh, but Lonzo Ball was pretty bloody good today, so it's a bit hard to be better than Lonzo Ball, but you know how you can be better than Lonzo's 12 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals, and 3 turnovers? You go perfect, like Zach Collins. Ah, yes. 7 of 7, 2 of 2 from 3. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That is just marginally better than Lonzo Ball. And if we're going to do better than Trae Young, look, we could go with Mo Bamba. He was pretty good. And Trae Young didn't play, so that's easy. All right, and you know what? It's Friday, so what do we do after better than Lonzo Ball on Fridays? Here it comes. Ah, you love it.
Dickhead of the Week!
Yes, it's Dickhead of the Week, and this one's an easy one, because I'm going to say anyone who decries the state of defense in the NBA at the moment. Look, I yelled about this yesterday at length, very loudly, but to reiterate, because what is Dickhead of the Week if not for reiterating who was a massive dickhead? But come on, man, anyone who's like, dude, they don't even play any defense in the NBA anymore. It's like, it's way better when there's defense. Get the fuck out of here, you sad sack, morose motherfuckers. Oh, I want defense. Oh, shut up. Enjoy it. It's fun as hell, because when there's a fucking 79-74 game and you're not on like fucking Twitter or Facey yelling about how great this 79-74 defensive fucking tussle was, we're all going to know that you're full of shit. So if you hear anyone say, that they just don't even play any defense in the NBA anymore, or anyone who says that, just anyone who just like gives a fuck about that, just know that they are now officially our Dickhead of the Week. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yenna.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Right, we are back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And let's do it. Number one, we mentioned it. Well, he appeared at the top and it keeps popping up here and there. Is Stephen A. Smith right? Should CJ McCollum be demanding a trade to the Sixers? This popped up on CJ's own podcast. It was brought to my attention by our man PDX Pete. Our West Coast Bureau Chief, I guess. So is he right? Should CJ be demanding a trade to the Sixers? Yeah, nah. I mean, come the fuck on. It's almost as though Stephen A. Smith spent years as a Sixers beat writer. And he's trying to improve his team. Get the fuck out of here. CJ should be pretty happy and chill, I think, there in Portland, because they're right in the mix. He would fit very nicely on the Sixers. But, I mean, what are you getting back from the Sixers? Like, nothing. Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. So that's dumb. And Stephen A. Smith, in a surprise twist, full of a lot of hot air, which brings us to another Yeah Nah that was posited to me by PDX Pete. Is Stephen A. Smith more full of shit than LeVar Ball? Oh, Yeah Nah. Yeah Nah. I mean, he's full of shit, but at least a lot of his dumbass wrong opinions are based in reality. Even though they're usually fucking stupid and wrong and idiotic in the extreme. But, I mean, that's Stephen A. Smith. Whereas LeVar Ball might be just legit struggling with a mental disorder, which, you know, isn't funny. But is also kind of funny because he's just a loudmouth asshole who loves his kids a lot, but also happens to be a fucking moron, but also a pretty good businessman. So, yeah, he's more full of shit than Stephen A. Smith, because at least Stephen A. Smith kind of bases his shit in reality, whereas LeVar's like, I could have beat Jordan. That's more full of shit than Stephen A. Smith never said that, you know? So there you go. All right, number three. Ah, we mentioned at the top. It's what you're all here for. Is Jimmy Butler, worth 4 first-round picks from Houston? Yeah, nah. Look. It's tough because I'm not entirely convinced that trading away 7 years of your future to win now hasn't ever not worked out fucking horribly. Like, come on, man. In 7 years, Chris Paul's going to be like fucking 41. Harden, Jimmy Butts, they're going to be like 36. And you're going to be like, hey, man, so remember when we were good? Why are we now giving away our number two overall pick to fucking Minnesota? That seems weird. I mean, I've literally just sat through fucking 5 years of the Nets doing the whole, hey, man, we'll compete and be good forever. What do you think about that, Kawhi? I know, right? Fucking A. So having just gone through that Nets shit show, you never know, right? Like when you give away four first round picks, it's probably two too many. If you go like, hey, man, we can compete now. All right, well, what's our time frame? 3 years? When you go four first round picks, that blows it out to 7 years. I mean, I'd be all right with two first rounders and whatever contracts you need to give them. But four just means your other plans for the next 7 years are basically hamstrung, at least in some way, shape, or form, right? So Daryl Morey's plan of like trade all the picks for Jimmy is great. Compete for the title for what, the next 2 to 3 years. And then in 3 years' time, go to like the Clippers or something to become their president of basketball operations for like 25 times the money that you're getting paid in Houston, and then let someone else deal with fucking 38-year-old Chris Paul, retired James Harden and Jimmy Butler and no picks. It's pretty smart by Daryl Morey. No one ever said that he wasn't smart. Right, next one up for Yeah Nah is... So what do you reckon? Yeah, I'll throw this out to you as well. Jimmy Butler, do you reckon he's worth four first rounders? Even if you're Houston, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter, bro. Like, they're all going to be like pick 27 and 28 and 29 and 30 anyway. Mate, that's what the fucking Nets thought as well. CP3 could fall off a fucking cliff and never be healthy again. He's already fucking dealing with hammy after hammy after hammy. And you know what sucks? Hammy injuries. Come on, man. He's like a fucking small point guard. You know what doesn't age well? Small fucking point guards. This could be a Nets situation all over again. So I'd say not four. Two, sure. Four, no fucking dice. Let us know what you think. Next one in Yenna. Is that Dino Raptors jersey the worst uniform ever, as it was called by Paul Pierce? Yenna, no! No fucking way. That Dino goddamn Raptors jersey is legendary. It looks awesome. And if you think otherwise, you're a dipshit. The worst ones ever, apparently, probably the current Clippers jerseys. Well, those horrible black ones that they had the last couple of years. Any Charlotte Bobcat jersey ever. The horrible gold and teal Wizard jerseys. They sucked. And every single sleeve jersey ever. Those are much worse than the fucking Dino Raps ones. Those Dino Rap ones were cool. And while I'm here, those awesome horse ones with the Pistons, they were fucking sick too. Don't at me. And then two more. Are OKC the most disappointing team in the NBA right now? Yeah, nah, yes, definitely. You can't use the, but Rusty missed the first two games. Mates, you just shit the bed hardcore in the fourth in a game that you had against the fucking Celtics. You got to win that. This is so disappointing to see this, especially after, I think, what is it, Paul George is like the cover star of ESPN the magazine this month, where it's like, hey, man, it was really cool. He just really got the vibe of the organization, man. And, like, he was just, like, really all about it. And they were really chill to him. And he just really dug it. And it was like, yeah, they've got a really good plan. I'm not sure if that plan meant going 0-4 to start the year. So that's pretty bloody disappointing, I'll tell you that much. And finally, is Flask Dad the best nickname in the NBA at the moment? Yeah, nah. Yes. Yes, it is. Because Marcus Morris does look like a dad who's bringing a flask to everything. Your auntie's birthday, your cousin's christening, church, a business meeting. I love it. I absolutely love Flask Dad. All right, let's get into the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. Unpopular opinion of the day. So I've just yelled about OKC being the most disappointing team in the NBA. I still think OKC will get back on track, and they're probably still a top four team in the West when it's all said and done, unless the Rockets trade for Jimmy Butts. I just think they're very good. I think they'll pull it all together, and if they don't, the next two or three games, Billy Donovan might get fired. But I still love Rusty. I still love the way he plays. I just really wish he wouldn't go fucking 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter and make me look like an asshole, and also have that entire idea of, hey man, just run an actual offense as opposed to going, Rusty, we're going to run the play for you to put us ahead when we're down three, when you're 0-4 for three and like 0-6 for the game so far. Come on, let's be smarter than that. And all right, let's get into Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback Takehouse and TGIF. Am I right? That means 2-for-1 Foster's oil drum cans. Only at Outback. Come in, get shit-faced, and then get stuck into a flame-grilled take. And today's flame-grilled take is the Boston Celtics need to trade one of Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving because they have too many good players. And you can't have too many good players on a team because they'll all get pissy. So the Celtics would be better off with a spud like Terrence Ross than Gordon Hayward on their team. Only at Outback. Oh, it's a flame grill take, that one. Everyone loves throwing it around as well, don't they? All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch and the Luke Longley All-Stars right after, let's say, these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we are back. It's time for the Australian Player Watch, and it's an easy one today because no one played. That's right, there was no Australians going today. So for the weekends, we have Big Simo and Jonah Bolden. They're playing on Sunday against the Hornets. The Jingler and Kangaroo Kobe, Dante X and the Jazz take on the Pals on Sunday and the Mavs on Monday. Aaron Bangers Baines could have gone today, they reckon, but he had to be held back by the Celtics staff. And the Celtics finally won a game without Bangers. They don't usually. So good on them, I guess. And but anyway, he actually plays his old team, the Pistons, on Sunday as well. King Dally of Maribara, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, and Kung Fu Thon McCur with the Bucks. They take on the Wolves and then the Magic this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Or is that Sunday, Monday? I don't know. And Paddy Thrills hosts the Lakers on Sunday. Maybe we get another game winner. And as mentioned, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. He's got the Jingles and the Jazz on Monday, but before that, he's got the Raps on Sunday. So that's pretty good. Aussie Kyrie, obviously, same as Bangers, Pistons on Sunday. And no updates for Dengadel or Mitchie Creek at the moment, or Isaac Humphries. They're all still going through G League training camp. We'll update you as soon as we have anything. And you know what? It's time for a brand new Luke Longley All-Star Role Players Who Just Did Their Bloody Job Hall of Fame. Let's do it. It's the Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Fame. And today, it's a Luke Longley teammate. Oh, nice. Ron Harper is a Luke Longley All-Star for this week. That's right. I love me some Ron Harper. Dude was a scorer in his younger years, kicked ass, was absolutely amazing, then turned into one of the very best defensive point guards going. Seriously, he was an absolute fucking gun in Cleveland and on the Clippers. He averaged basically a 20.5-5 line before going to the Bulls in 94-95. His shot attempts when he was on the Clippers were 17.8 a game. The next year, 6.4. 6.4. The dude averaged 20 a game, then went and averaged 6.9 points. Absolutely amazing. Because what he did was crucial. He let MJ relax a tiny little bit defensively and they could switch on whichever guard was most dangerous. And he was crucial to the Bulls' success for that entire second three-peat. So the reason he's a Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Famer is he changed his game, didn't complain, kicked some ass, and then won 5 bloody rings because he was there for that Bulls' three-peat and then the first 2 Lakers titles in the thousands. Absolutely unreal. What a dead set ledge. On your Ron Harper, way to go. Pretty bloody good. All right. We'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in, and the game previews. But not before we hear from these guys.
G'day. This is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board Twitter check-in. Patty, he's an inspiring bloke. What can I say? But today's inspiring quote actually came from, because Patty's also just stopped tweeting after the first game when they lost. Anyway, Ben Simmons tweeted out his Nike commercial. That's right, his Nike commercial is out, and it's a young Big Simo. It's a little Big Simo. and he's out there wearing basketball shorts and talking about how he's dreaming of being in the NBA. And now all these Aussie kids are laughing at him because they're in their budgie smugglers. And then there's a kangaroo, also in budgie smugglers, that says, "Yeah, mate. Nah. I'm pissed that it doesn't say, yeah, nah, mate. You're dreaming." Missed opportunity there for Big Simo, but still, he also tweeted that out and said, "It's only crazy until you do it." Absolutely unreal. But yeah, the kangaroo not saying yeah, nah, felt like a personal shot at me. Just saying. All right, let's get stuck into the game previews for the entire weekend. Let's do the damn thing.
Game previews. Game previews.
What do you think, Invert and Bane?
I believe we've got an entirely excellent slate of games for the weekend.
Thanks, Invert and Bane. Saturday, we've got 7 games. We've got the Bulls at Hornets. That's a rematch from Wednesday. Let's see if the Hornets can't get it back. I reckon they will, because the Bulls have basically got 4 blokes on their team left now. Bobby Portis is out, Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn, no Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. It's basically Jabari No D Parker and Zach No D Levine. Oh, Hornets are going to smash him. I reckon this will be the Kemba 50 piece that we picked the other day. So give me the Hornets. Warriors at Knicks. Oh, jeez. So the Knicks don't really have an actual sort of NBA team at the moment, right? So, how many points do you really think Steph is actually going to score? 50? 60? He just had 51 in 3 quarters. I'm feeling 60 and a half against the Knicks at MSG. He loves putting on a show. I was there for one of his, what do you have, a triple-double? When I was there in like 2013, I think, that game I went to, he absolutely tore it apart just before Steph was really turning into Steph. Reckon he might tear it apart and put up a 60 and a half. And this is also going to be hilarious because there's a billboard near MSG going, "Hey, Kevin Durant, you should come to the Knicks." And he's all like, "I don't really like that kind of stuff, man." It's like, ah, geez, what have they done? Classic. So with all the coward Kevin Durant to the Knicks talk, this is going to be fun as hell. It's just a real shame that there's like one NBA player on this Knicks team. And I don't know if that's Enes Kanter or Tim Hardaway Jr. Oh, geez. But this is going to be an absolute shellacking. Warriors are going to smash him. Mavs at Raps. They're going to keep rolling. I think they'll... look, Mavs on their road trip. Can't really quite see them getting over a Raps team that are just absolutely steamrolling opposition teams. Kawhi, he's going to go out there and put the clamps on Luka Doncic, that's for sure. And Kyle Lowry probably do the exact same thing to Dennis Smith Jr. So, yeah, I don't see the Mavs having much of a hope in that one. Raps for me. Clips at Rockets. Ooh, this is nice. CP3 is going to be back for this one. Harden's going to be out. He's out for at least a week with a bit of a hammy. The Dante Exum poisoning is what I'd call it. Clips at Rockets. I love a good tunnel crew reuniting sort of thing, even though it's not in LA. But this will be fun. Half the bloody Clippers were on the Rockets at some stage in their career. So this is going to be fun. CP3, Clint Capella and Mallow versus Tobias Harris and Pat Bev and the Rooster. Should be good, actually. I'm looking forward to this one in Houston. Rockets need to win it. They're 1-3, so I think they will at home. It's going to be weird, though. No Harden. Can they score enough? I reckon we might see a big, big Eric Gordon game here. Give me the Rockets at home. Nets at Pelicans. Oh, it's Brow versus the Fro. Pelicans are unbeaten. Nets have been frisky. You're looking pretty nice at times. You've got Jared Allen and Ed Davis and, what, Rondé as the bigs for the Nets? I don't know if they've got the size and speed to stop Anthony Davis and Nikola Mirotic. And Julius Randle. And Drew Holiday might swallow D'Angelo Russell whole as well. So give me the Pels in that one. Bucks at Wolves. Ooh, this is tasty. Regional rivals, baby. Jimmy Butts, he's back in the news, obviously. He and Kat going up against a Greek Freak and co. along with Middleton and Bledsoe. I mean, the Wolves, they've got to prove that they're not a fucking rabble. So maybe this is the one. I don't know. Can Kat slow down Giannis? It's going to be fun to see. I think the Wolves might get this. Maybe. Look, the Bucks have been good, so good that they've not lost a game, but I reckon this might be the one that they do drop. And yeah, the Wolves might get on a little bit of a roll. They could also just be completely discombobulated with all the newest Jimmy Butler talk, and he could be traded by then, so who knows. But I'll take the Wolves off the top. Wiz at Kings. Gross! Oosh. How do we get so many good ones and then absolute fucking shockers straight after? Like, Bucks Wolves is awesome, Clips Rockets is awesome, then Wiz Kings. Ugh, there's going to be like 8 people at this fucking game. Can John Wall look less interested in being good at basketball? I mean, this is going to be a fun speed off at least. Maybe they should just run sprints the entire game. He and De'Aaron Fox. That'd be fun. Or they should at least shoot Speed 3. Maybe they could, what do we have, a bus, had a train, then you had a boat in Speed 2. What do you reckon? Rocket ship? Yeah, that'd be fun. Anyway, I reckon the Kings might even steal this one. The Wiz are playing fucking Jason Smith at center. And I don't know how they haven't traded for like Kostakoufos or something. Like they've got 87 fucking centers on the Kings and the Wiz are starting Jason Smith. Jesus, no Yami Hinmi, he's injured. No Dwight Howard, he's got a sore ass. It's crazy. I don't know, man. Is Ernie Grunfeld still alive? Does anyone know? Maybe someone should go check on him. So give me the Kings at home. I think they'll win that. Sunday, whoa, it's a big slate. That is 9 games on Sunday. Awesome. Celtics are Pistons, one of the best teams in the East, playing the Celtics. Celtics at Detroit. Give me the Celtics. I think they'll... I think they're just starting to figure stuff out. That second half was just unreal. It's just Horford realizing that, all right, if we're going to lose this, how about I take a couple of shots and make sure that we get in and get amongst it? And it worked. Jaylen Brown might wake up as well. Yeah, give me the Celtics and that. Jazz at Pelicans. This is tasty. Oh, Pelicans coming off a back-to-back. Jazz will be nice and rested, but Pelicans are at home. You've got Jingler. You've got Rudy Gobert and the Stafford Tower going up against Anthony Davis. And I feel like this would be the game where the Pelicans lose their unbeaten record and the Jazz pop them. And everyone goes, oh my God, are the Jazz one of the best teams in the West? Like I've been fucking yelling about for the last month and a half. Give me the Jazz. Bulls at Hawks. Oh, see? Look, they give us a good one, then they fucking slap us right in the face with a shit one. Oh no, this is the exact opposite of Jazz Pelicans, isn't it? Jazz Pelicans, what is it? Metal and bin chickens. That's what it is. Jazz, speed metal, bin chickens. As opposed to Jazz Pelicans. Do you get it? That's nice. There's no one like what? LaVine and Parker, as mentioned on that Bulls team. So I reckon the Hawks win this. Trae Young, his trajectory. What was it? It was like 35 and 11. Then he dropped down to 15. So he might have 50 in this one. And considering it's against the Bulls, fuck, it might actually happen. Give me the Hawks. Pacers at Cavs. Oh, the Cavs are going to be 0-6 thanks to some Victor Oladipo. Bit of Pacers revenge for that first round loss last year, huh? Pacers going to smash them. Hornets at Sixers. Sixers taking the Hornets on a back-to-back. I reckon the Sixers get this. They need to get this one actually back on track as well. They're 2-3 and want to see them smash another of those East playoff hopefuls after dropping that game to the Pistons the other day. So yeah, give me the Sixers at home against the Hornets. Blazers at Heat. Oh, this might be a bit of a hangover game for the Blazers. They're in Florida for the whole weekend. Get in a Disney trip. Maybe go to Universal Studios, then play the Heat on a Saturday night. I think they might be a little bit more worried about the bars and clubs they're going to after, so I reckon the Heat will get that one. Heat haven't played for a couple of days as well, so yeah, nice and rested. Give me the Heat. Suns at Grizz. Oh! Got the number one pick and the number four pick going at it. DeAndre Ayton versus Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. Suns young and hungry. I reckon they'll win this. It's also one of those weird low expectation games though where Gasol and Conley might just step up and win it. It is at home. I reckon the Suns though get this one. I feel like they're just too talented to keep dropping games, and the Grizz are playing over their heads at the moment at 2-2. Oh, geez. So what do we got? Two more. Magic at Bucks. Magic coming off a loss to the Pistons. Bucks, they'll be on a back-to-back, but I reckon they'll steamroll the Magic. This is at home for the Bucks because that back-to-back is just up the road in Minnesota anyway, so I reckon they'll be fine. They are actually, you know, the only team longer than the Magic. Magic are run by John Hammond, the old Bucks GM. You got Bamba, Gordo, and Isaac to all throw at Greek Freak, which would be kind of interesting, but I reckon the Bucks beat them. And then finally, last game Sunday, Lakers looking to avenge that Patty Mills game winner that ruined LeBron's first Laker home game. Lakers at Spurs. Spurs kind of sputtering along here. It's a bit of a rough one. I think I'll take them at home against the Lakers, though. Lakers, though, might be rounding into a little bit of form. They've won their two straight. Lakers, you know, they're just a weird-looking team, but I reckon they might win this one. Yeah, give it... No, I'll give it to the Spurs, fuck it. Spurs at home, let's do it. And then, look, so we'll be recording as we do after the games on Monday. So the games we'll be covering on Monday will be Warriors, Nets, Jazz at Mavs, Suns at Thunder, and Wiz at Clips. We'll be covering those more in depth and do our weekend wrap as well. It's a fun bunch of games, actually, on that Monday. Warriors, Nets, Jazz, Mavs, Suns, Thunder, Wiz, Clips. Nice. And you know what? Holy crap. That's it for today. That's it for the week. Thanks for listening. It's been awesome. We're back on Monday with more ridiculousness. In the meantime, just make sure you're following NBA Australia all over Twitter, Facey, Insta. We'll be all over the socials on the weekend during the games. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes and Google Podcasts, would you? It helps heaps. Tell a mate. Jump all over it. Rating and review. It really helps us. So chuck us, you know, a bit of a favor there, bro. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music. But go check out their new band, though, House Hats. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is what you hear behind Yeah Nah every day. And it's a belter. So go hit up Triple J, FBI, whatever radio station you listen to, and chuck them a request. House Hats, I've Been Broken. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them a massive smash on Bandcamp, Facey, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. And yeah, you asked for it. Stick around after the end of this for Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. You all asked for it, and it's back. All right. All right, man. We'll catch us on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose! All right, and welcome to the show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And look, just because of all this latte drinking, left wing, SJW snowflakes everywhere, someone has to be out there telling it like it is, mate. And that's just what I do, mate. About betting commercials, Sydney traffic, Australian media, my Sydney Kings, mate. And if you don't like my opinions, then you can go and get stuff, mate. There's an entire internet to go and look at other opinions, but you're on my one. So let's get stuck in. Let's go to the Twitter internet and slam some Twitter snowflakes, should we? All right, so what do we have here? Okay, so the Herald Sun, my favorite newspaper, it says the new video reveals Australian currency contains animal fat. And then they say, good luck boycotting money, vegans. That's funny as, mate. I'm going to retweet that. Crying, laughing emoji, crying, laughing emoji, crying, laughing emoji. Oh, that's a good one, Bogie. Oh, that's funny. I love that old song. Oh, what else we got? Oh, so this is a funny one. So, through a W, they said there's a protest group called Disrupt. They're currently blocking the entrance to the Herald Sun building. But then they won't be able to tweet out great shit like that one, mate. Water cannons, please. Thanks. Thumbs up emoji. Hashtag Victoria, the place for protests. Bogie, you are getting pretty political today, mate. This is pretty good. Oh, so I've also been watching a lot of TV lately, mate. Like, I'm just playing in the NBL, bro. So there's plenty of time in between games. So I actually get to watch some stuff. So how about I'll tweet about some of that? Started part two of Making a Murderer yesterday, mate. How that fella still locked up boggles my mind. Hashtag crooked cops. Oh, nice one. Did you watch the first part? It's fully sick, mate. Some other ones. Oh, I love watching Q&A. All those snowflakes. They just get so bent out of shape, mate. What would you like the Q&A panel to discuss tonight? Something, something, identity politics. Nice one, Bogey. That's a good one. Oh, and how are these other dickheads, mate? So, oh, we'll just want to watch that Sacha Baron Cohen's thing. Where can I see Sacha Baron Cohen's Who is America without Showtime? Let's see who gets back to me. Oh, then this dickhead from ESPN, it's all my old mate Tim McMahon. He says, why are you so cheap? Oh, Tim, we don't have Showtime on cable TV in Australia, champ. You know, a country that exists outside of yours. Gritting teeth emoji. Oh my God, Americans, they don't get it. Even ESPN guys, mate. And then this dickhead Tyler Johnson, he says to me, this dude over here making NBA money and can't afford Showtime, crying emoji. Oh, fuck you, Tyler Johnson. This dude over here doesn't realize other countries exist and don't have Showtime. You fucking dickhead. Oh, nice one. Oh, so did you see all this whole thing about like Shane Mumford doing a bunch of drugs, mate? I gotta talk about that, eh? Hardly shocking news to see athletes in the news re recreational drugs, mate. Back in my old days of going to clubs, I was offered a line every time I went out by very prominent people. Thumbs down emoji. This taught me two things. One, it was acceptable and cool. Two, time to stop going out to clubs. Nice one. Yeah, it's a good thing to say to the youth, mate. Don't do drugs, mate. On this dead dipshit Red at Benny Mertz, he says, geez, mate, with your big honker, I wouldn't be offering you my stash. Raised eyebrow emoji. That's pretty funny, mate. Wog nose, mate. Don't be racist. That's a good comeback there, Bogey. Good shit, mate. Oh, and how's this one, though? Oh, my God, mate. Jesus. So, Matthew Scanners, he tweeted at me, Andrew Bogut, glad you don't live in Narre Warren. The Christmas Grinch of the council is just shutting down all these Christmas lights, mate. Oh, my God. No way. I know this place. We would visit during Chrissy some years when I was very young, mate. Poor form at City of Casey. Thumbs down emoji. Oh, nice one, Bogey. Oh, my God. They just got back to me. Holy shit, would you look at this? The City of Casey replied, they said, don't believe everything you read, Andrew. Council has worked hard to help the residents manage the surge in visitors, including offering financial support, but they made the decision it was too much for them to manage. We stand ready to help if they change their mind. Huh. That's fair. Thanks for a reply. A shame this is gone. Nice one. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. Tune in next week for more Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Only on NBA Australia.